As we begin this lesson, Acts chapter 27, the Apostle Paul is on his way to Rome. He has been in prison in Caesarea for about 2 years. He's on a ship filled with wheat. We find that in Acts 27, along with 275 other people. Now, this particular journey from Crete to Phoenice should have taken about 4 to 6 hours. Had the sailing conditions been normal, had the sailing conditions been what it would be like on a peaceful day, and it did start out that way, we'll talk about that in a moment, they would have been there in just a short period of time. From our reading that we did a few moments ago, we discovered that that was not the case. As we see, these sailing conditions, this particular incident, was one that left them with little hope. You see that at the end of verse number 20, where we find our title or our theme, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. I'd like to get right into the outline this afternoon as we look at this passage of Scripture, and we'll look at several other verses within the text as well. Number one, I want us to see in verses 13 to 20 the violence of the storm. The violence of the storm. Now, for sake of getting things fully in perspective, though, let's look back up, if you will, to verse number 10. We did not read this, but let's look at what the Apostle Paul had to say to these people in verse number 10. And said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and, notice, much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Here's Paul, the Apostle Paul, giving a warning to these folks that are organizing this and they're making this journey. And he's saying, look, I don't know if this is such a good idea. I don't know if we should go. I believe there's going to be much damage and there's going to be much hurt. And he says, I perceive. You know, why was Paul able to perceive? It's because I believe Paul had a walk with God. It's how any of us can sense a leading in our life. And you know, how much more do we not, in today, do we need to be led by the Holy Spirit of God? Do we not need to be led by feelings? You know, right now, it's very easy to be led by feelings. Right now, it's easy to be led from feelings to fear, just like that. And if there's a day in which Christians need to live by faith, it's today. Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. Paul said, I perceive. Paul could anticipate because Paul had a walk with God that allowed him to hear when God spoke. You know what? I want to hear when God speaks. I want to hear when God says move. I want to hear when God says wait. I want to hear when God says stop. Be still and see my salvation. Well, Paul said, hey, I'm just letting you know, I think this is going to be with great damage. Letter A, I thought it very interesting that there was a sudden change. Notice this, did you see the sudden change? Look at verse number 13. We read it a moment ago. Notice what it says. And when the south wind blew, what's that next word, church? Softly. I heard it. I heard you. When the south wind, I'm going to say that every week, but that's okay. I like to repeat things. When the south wind blew softly, think about a soft wind for a moment, okay? You know, we're down at Stanley Park. If you're allowed to go to Stanley Park, I don't know. But you're down at Stanley Park and you're walking around the seawall. And you know, you've got your wife on your arm or you're holding your wife's hand and you're walking around the seawall at Stanley Park. And the wind is blowing softly. It's blowing her hair. It's blowing your hair, but you don't have any. But anyway, the wind is blowing softly. It's just a beautiful day. The sun is out, and you can see the mountains, and you can see whatever you can see there. You can see maybe, no more cruise ships for right now. But anyway, my illustration has just gone down the tube right there. But the wind is blowing softly. We understand what that means. We can go at our house. We can walk down to Lafarge Lake. We can be there in just a few moments. A soft wind. I've said it so many times. What a beautiful breeze. What a beautiful breeze. That's exactly what it was like in the beginning of this voyage. Look what it says in verse 13. Supposing that they had obtained their purpose. You know what that means? Everything was ready. Everything was good. The wind was just right. I mean, it was soft. It was blowing. It was a beautiful breeze. It was a calm breeze. And okay, this is what we wanted. I don't know what Paul was talking about, What was Paul talking about? This is going to be with damage. This is the perfect wind. This is the south wind. This is the perfect wind for sailing. Let's let loose. That's what it says there. Notice, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. Perfect conditions for sailing. Obviously, Paul is not a mariner. Obviously, Paul did not know what he was talking about. You know what? When I read this verse of Scripture, I kind of went back in my mind's eye, if you will, to just maybe a few weeks ago. Maybe 6 weeks ago. Maybe a couple of months ago. South wind was blowing. I mean, Anchor Baptist Church, February was unbelievable. I'm not discouraged right now. I want you to know that. I'm just saying, in February, our attendance at Anchor Baptist Church, and praise God for it, I mean, it was just going up and up and up, and praise the Lord, we had no room, a couple of Sundays, and visitors were coming, and I mean, I believe God is working today. It's just like he was working then, but I'm just saying, a soft wind. I mean, we were soul winning and witnessing and praying, and we were seeking the Lord. Hey, by the way, all of this came right on the heels of Dr. Rick Flanders. Dr. Rick Flanders was here with us at the end of January, and boy, did God use him in a mighty way, and he's still using him in our midst in a mighty way, and we pray for him, and we pray for you, Dr. Flanders. If you happen to see this, we pray for you that God would give you unction to function, and I read that you were preaching on a revival meeting online, I believe this week, and we're praying for you. What I'm saying is the wind was blowing softly. Oh, we weren't free of problems. We weren't free of difficulties, no doubt about it. Jobs were plenteous. The economy was on the rise. The dollar was strong. Everything was moving forward. I mean, the whole world, I mean, yes, there's always problems. What I'm just saying is, look back 6 to 8 weeks ago, and we weren't thinking anything about a recession, and we weren't thinking anything about a pandemic. And yes, I know that the virus had started in other places, but I'm just saying, even though we were removed from that, there wasn't any thought that we would be in this situation. We were verse number 13. The wind was blowing softly, wasn't it? And again, God is blessing now. I'm not saying doom and gloom. I'm just saying that here we are on the 29th day of March, broadcasting a service from the church office. Here we are on the 29th day of March, not allowed to assemble together. And I can tell you what, as a pastor, as a preacher, as an under-shepherd, that is the worst. There's nothing worse than not being able to gather together with the family of God. You know, I can't imagine what it's like under normal conditions to sit out of church. I can't imagine what it's like to skip church and not be in church. Now I guess I know what it's like a little bit. But we're not skipping church. We can't meet. I'm just saying, I can't wait to get back together with the family of God. But here we are. God is in this today. God has put us here today. The wind was blowing softly. And just like it did on the ship that was sailing to Phinehas. Look at verse 14. Look how it starts. But not long after. Stop right there. But not long after. Oh, that breeze was so pleasant, and oh, that breeze was so soft in verse number 13. And they went ahead and loosed from the shore, and they began to sail to Crete. And the Bible says, don't miss these words in your Bible, underline them, circle them, but not long after. It wasn't long and everything changed. It wasn't long and the south winds were gone. It wasn't long and the calmness of the waves was now a tempestuous sea, like the Bible says. It wasn't long and everything was now against this crew. Everything was beating against the waves and the wind. The Bible says there that it's tempestuous in verse number 14. That tempestuous, the word tempestuous comes from the Greek word tufanikos. Tufanikos, where we get our word typhoon. Now, I'm telling you what, if you go down to the seawall in Vancouver, I don't know if we're going to ever have a typhoon here. I was in a typhoon in the Philippines. I think it was a typhoon in the Philippines. Yeah, that's what it was. Okay, so let's go to Baguio, Philippines, where I was a few years ago, and there's a typhoon. I can tell you right now, I'm not going to be walking down the sidewalk with my precious bride, and her hair's going to be blowing, and my hair's going to be blowing. No, we're all going to be blowing everywhere. There's a big difference between a breeze, a south breeze, and a typhoon. That's exactly what happened. And notice it says, not long after. Not long after. It's kind of like you leave the house in the morning and the sun's out and you don't take your umbrella, you don't wear a coat. Before it's time to go home during the day, Vancouver, the clouds have rolled in, it's pouring down rain, and you have no coat, no umbrella. That's kind of what happened here. Not long after. And the Bible calls it Euroclydon. Euroclydon, you see that there? Which means a violent agitation. The southeast wind raised mighty broad waves with the force of a typhoon. It wasn't predictable. Now, these men were, I'm sure they were mariners. They knew that a storm could come up at any given moment. The storm was so strong, so strong. Look what it says in verse 15. It was so strong, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her what? Drive. You know what that means? They just let go. The typhoon, the tempestuous wind, the typhoon-like winds were so strong, they couldn't do anything with the ship that they just let the ship go wherever the ship was going to go. Wherever the waves took the ship, that's where it was going to go. Wherever the wind took the ship, that's where it was going to go. They had absolutely no control over it. A sudden change. Letter B, let me point out to you, letter B, the vulnerability of the ship. So we see letter A, a sudden change. You know, let me just go back to that quickly before we get to B. And sorry, Pastor Nathan, if you've clicked ahead already. But sudden change, you know what? That's our life, isn't it? Many times, it's sudden. It's not predictable. The situation that we're in right now, sudden change. Tuesday, I was supposed to be on a plane with my family going to Uganda. God changed that. We're not going. Okay, that's all right. It's God's will, but it's a sudden change. You know, that trip's been planned for a long time, but you know what? It wasn't God's will. So we've got to let God's will come to fruition in our life. It's a sudden change. I think about these folks that are separated. Husbands and wives are separated, and wife's going to have a baby, and her husband can't even be there. I mean, it's a sudden change. You know, when they found out they were pregnant, that's not what they thought about. Oh, we're gonna have a baby. It's exciting. It's wonderful. And then now when delivery is around, they can't even be together as husband and wife. It's a sudden change. I think of our dear sister Melina, who's in the hospital and can't even be visited by a family member, let alone the pastor. Oh, that hurts to not be able to go visit her. Oh, but we can visit her. We can visit her in prayer, yes. It's a sudden change. Your life and my life, I think we could probably go back and find times in our life where just like that, it changed. One phone call changed. I remember getting one of those phone calls about my own life. The results have come in. I need to see you. Don't delay. I need to see you. They found cancer. Praise God, the cancer was removed, and I'm here today. To God be the glory. But you know what? That's a sudden change. You've had those. I remember the call we just got a few months ago. Very early in the morning, 25th day of the month, got a call very early in the morning that my brother-in-law had gone home to be with the Lord. Sudden change. 20 years of marriage. Precious wife, two precious girls, just moved to Oregon. God said, okay, Andy, come home. It's a sudden change, like it says, but not long after. You know, God is sovereign. God is good. God is faithful. Look at your life today. There's been some sudden changes, hasn't there? Look at your life today. There's been some things in your life. There's been some difficulties. And maybe you have right now in your life a sudden change because of this. Maybe your job right now is on hold. It's a sudden change. Maybe some others are going to hear that in the next week or so. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to say this story shows us that sudden change can happen. Notice letter B, the vulnerability of the ship. Vulnerability of the ship. The sailors tried everything they could to save the ship. I would guess they were experienced. It doesn't tell us. I would guess they were capable. I would guess they had been trained. Think about this for a moment. I would guess that they knew what they were doing. I would guess that if they took a quiz on sailing, they would pass the test. I would guess they were educated. I would guess they were experienced. I would guess that they had everything that they thought they could get when it comes to sailing. You know, we live in a day where man has so much knowledge. We live in a day where man has so much expertise. I mean, to be able to do what we're doing right now is just absolutely mind-boggling. To be able to be speaking to someone 20 time zones ahead of where I'm at right now, although they're probably in bed. I don't know. Maybe they're getting up. I don't know. It's just amazing. You know what? That's God has given man the knowledge to be able to design these things. But you know what? A lot of this has gone to man's head. Man has forgotten that man is vulnerable. Man has forgotten that man is not like Superman. Man has forgotten that man has weaknesses. Man has forgotten many times that all it takes for God to do is just move one little thing over in our life, and everything changes from the beautiful south wind to the Euroclydon from the typhoon type wind. Man has forgotten that he is vulnerable. Man has a lot of wealth. Man thinks he has a lot of power. But you know what? This afternoon, this is never going to change. Without God, man is hopeless. Without God, man is hopeless. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Oh, praise the Lord that he is faithful. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says in verse number 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such do what? Turn away. Means to divert from, to get away from. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust, ever learning, ever learning. Aren't we there today? We're there. Again, learning is good. Knowledge is good, as long as it doesn't supersede truth. See, truth sets us free, not knowledge. Truth sets us free. You know, much of the knowledge that the world wants to give us is contrary to the Word of God. Much of the knowledge that universities want to give us is contrary to the Word of God. Again, get an education. Follow the leading of the Lord in your life. Follow the leading of your mom and dad if it's godly. Follow the leading of your parents and your preacher and your youth. I'm just saying, what I mean by this is be careful that we aren't always coming to knowledge, and it says here, you know the verse, and never able to come to the knowledge of the what? Truth. There it is. I mean, we're learning, but what are we learning? Are we learning truth? What are we retaining? Is it truth? Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the what? Truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Oh, may God help Anchor Baptist Church. May God help Anchor Baptist Church to recognize that she is vulnerable. Yes, we need to recognize that. I need to recognize that as a pastor. I am not all that and a slice of bread. I am not everything that I am supposed to be. No, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Look, when the Euroclydon, when the tempestuous, when the typhoon winds come into my life, I need something to be anchored in. I need someone to be anchored in. I need to come to the truth of the Word of God. Don't let this pandemic push you away from God. Have it pull you closer to God. Have it get you in God's Word more, in prayer more. This was a ship that was very vulnerable. What was it vulnerable to? It was vulnerable to the conditions. Without truth, I submit to you, you are vulnerable. Without truth, let me say this, without truth, I am no match for the devil. The devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And right now, the devil wants to devour you. Right now, the devil wants to devour me. Right now, the devil wants to devour the ministry of Anchor Baptist Church. Right now, the devil wants to devour the missionaries that we're supporting, several on deputation. Pray for those missionaries on deputation. Some of them are less than 50% of their support, and meetings are just getting canceled all over the place. And again, I'm not speaking on behalf of those churches. That's what some have to do. That's just how it goes. I want to let you know, Anchor Baptist Church family, that we're trying to keep everything in line that we have scheduled. We want to support the missionaries all the way through, as I said. Then there's missionaries on the field. Some of them are in places where it's complete lockdown, and they're in remote places. Nothing is open. I got a picture from someone this week of them cooking on an open fire with wood. And I mean, you know, it's like camping 24/7. And you know, that might be fun for a while. For me, that would be fun for like lunch, and that's it. I need to forget it after that. Just kidding. But anyway, I mean, in all seriousness, they're living in very vulnerable times. This is a vulnerable time for the church. We were talking about it earlier here. This is a vulnerable time. Why is it vulnerable? Because we don't want to get comfortable watching church on the TV. We don't want to get comfortable watching church on a couch with our feet put up. And if your feet are up right now, it's okay. We don't want to get comfortable watching church drinking our coffee. I almost had one up here, but no, I'm just kidding. I didn't. What I'm saying is we're vulnerable right now. Why? Because it's stormy. This ship was very vulnerable. This ship was very vulnerable. So number one, we see the violence of the storm. Number two, in our outline, we see the prophet of the storm. The prophet of the storm. Paul exhorts the sailors with the face that God had comforted him with his promises. There was prophet in the storm. Look at verse number 21. Verse number 21, Acts 27. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me." I mean, that's, you know, what a statement, eh? You know, you should have listened to what I said. I told you back in verse number 10, you had that nice breeze flowing just for a little while, and you thought you knew more than me. "Ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you." So Paul gives them the kind of the negative. Now he's going to give them the positive. What does he say? "And now I exhort you to be of good" what? "Cheer." Yes, I heard you again. "Be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." In other words, Paul, you've got to make it to Caesar, so everybody on the boat is going to make it. Fear not. I love verse 25. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer." That's two times he said to be of good cheer. I've underlined both of those in my Bible. Be of good cheer. Notice the next statement. "For I believe God." Oh, I wonder, can you say that today? "For I believe God." Look, this is in the middle of a storm. What did it say up in our text? It said that they had, where's it at here? Oh, let's see here, verse 20. "Neither sun nor stars in many days appeared." I can't imagine one day on a boat when it's going back and forth in a typhoon type, no stars, no sun, no sun, no stars. And he says the tempest wasn't small and all hope was saved, was taken away. But Paul says, he looks at those 270 people, maybe not all of them at one time, but he's standing there. I can just imagine. Can you imagine the scene? Okay, this isn't a little rowboat. This is a big ship. And Paul stands up and says, "God sent an angel to talk to me tonight. And that angel said to me that I had to get to Rome. I have to get to Caesar. And I believe God." Look at what it says there, verse number 24. Maybe you ought to underline those words. "For I believe God." Here we are, March 29th, 2020. It is a typhoon around us right now. Oh, I mean, it's blowing. You go to bed, it's blowing. You get up and it's blowing. It's not going away. And again, I'm not doom and gloom. God's faithful. Bible says that the angel of the Lord came to Paul in the middle of the typhoon. So you know what? God is in the middle of this. God is with me. God is with you. God hasn't failed. Again, God didn't take a nap and wake up one day and there's COVID-19. God allowed this for a reason. God is always advancing. God is doing something great. And I, for one, want to have the attitude of Paul that I believe God. Let's believe God. In the middle of a typhoon, let's believe God. In the middle of a pandemic, let's believe God. In the middle of how we're having to function in life, let's believe God. Letter A, we see values. Values, the prophet of the storm. Letter A, values. Someone once said, "To realize the worth of an anchor, we must first feel the storm." Isn't that true? What good's an anchor if it's the beautiful south wind? Right? You don't need an anchor in the south wind. You just let that south wind blow. And we've been down to Stanley Park. You've been down to Stanley Park. And you see some boats out there, and they're just, the waves are just so nice. They're going up and down. Good night. I remember being in Baguio when that typhoon came. The telephone poles were like this. The wires were like this. I mean, it was amazing. And yet there were Filipinos out delivering balut. There were Filipinos out doing everything. I mean, those people are absolutely amazing. If you're a Filipino, God bless you. Typhoon. I was in the church, and no power. We had a brownout, as they call it over there. You know what? Paul said, I believe God. When God says, I'm going to get to Rome, I'm going to get to Rome. How about it? When God says something in His Word, hey church, when God says something in His Word, do we believe God? When God says, I'm never going to leave you, I'm never going to forsake you, do we believe God? When God says, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom, do we believe God? When God says, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, do we believe God? Do we believe God when God says what He says in the Word of God? There's values that we find in the storm. Paul said, I am God's. Basically, that's what Paul is saying. Paul's life did not belong to Paul. Paul's life belonged to God. And at the end of Paul's life, what did he say? He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Boy, that's what I want to do. I want to keep the faith. I don't know when God's going to call me home. I don't know when God's going to return and let Jesus return. I don't know, but I know this. I believe God. Yes, I have moments of fear that come into my life, and that's not right. And yes, I have questions that come into my life. But at the end of the day, I want to recognize I don't belong to me. I belong to God. I don't belong to Anchor Baptist Church. I belong to God. I don't belong to any government or any country. I belong to God. We belong as Christians to a heavenly country. And we can believe God. Let's believe God. There are great values that come. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Oh my. Can we say that with the psalmist today? It is good for me that I have been afflicted. And what does the rest of the verse say? That I might learn thy statutes. You know what those statutes are? That's the Word of God. The psalmist is saying, it is good for me that I might be afflicted, that I might learn this book. Look, if what comes out of this mess that we're in right now is that I learn more of this book, praise God. If what comes out of this thing that we're in right now, you learn more of this book, praise God. If what comes out of what we're in right now, we can get through this and see what the Lord has. Who knows how long it's going to take? Not worried about it. God knows the end from the beginning. He's already there anyway. But we can come through this and say, I believe God. You know what? Griping and complaining in the middle of that boat didn't make the typhoon go away, did it? Griping and complaining in the middle of what we're in right now isn't going to make it go away. We can get up tomorrow morning and have a sourpuss look on our face, or we can get up tomorrow morning and say, well, boy, I tell you what, it's Monday. Nothing really good about Monday, but God's good. He's on the throne. What's God have for me today? Hey, we can have the right spirit. We can have the right spirit. Paul said, I believe God. Then not only letter A, values, but letter B, we see vision. Vision. What's the vision? Paul said, we're going to make it. He had vision. God was going to bring them through the storm. Why? God already told him that. Look what he says there in verse 24. Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and God hath given thee all of them that sail with thee. Boy, I tell you what, Paul had a vision. His vision was given to him directly. Now remember, Paul didn't have the Bible. Paul didn't have the full written Word of God. We do. Amen. If you're at home, grab a hold of your Bible. Grab a hold of your Bible. Hopefully you're not picking up an Apple phone right now. Pick up a Bible, okay? You have a Bible. This is God's Word. Amen. From Genesis to Revelation, you have the Word of God. You know what's in this? Vision for your life. Direction for your life. How to be a dad, how to be a mom, how to be a teenager, how to be a single adult, how to be a grandma, how to be a grandpa, how to live our life. The vision that we have comes from this book right here. And you know that a lot of the authors of this book could tell us about so much tragedy and difficulties that came into their life. And so let's not be shocked that right now there's difficulty. No, let's see through all of this that God has a perfect will, that God has something for you, that God has something for me. The violence of the storm, the prophet of the storm, and number three, the victories in the storm. The victories in the storm. And we see that in the remainder of the chapter, verses 30 to 44. Letter A, we see God's promises. We kind of talked about that already. Turn with me, though, in your Bible to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, God's promises. James chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 6 to 8. James 1, verse 6, the Bible says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea." Right where we're at right now in Acts 27. "Driven with the wind and tossed, just like this ship." They couldn't do anything about it. They just had to let the ship drive. The wind was the driver. The waves was the driver. "For let not that man think," "for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." You know what? You've probably quoted that verse before, and I've quoted that verse before, but look at the context of it. "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." And then, a double-minded man. You know what I think part of the application here we can make to this is this. Here we have, "But let him ask in faith," over here on this side. And then over here on this side, we have wavering. This is double-mindedness. Faith and then wavering. Faith and then wavering. The Bible here says, no, we don't need this double mind. We don't need the wavering. Let's eliminate the wavering, as it says there. Ask in faith. Ask in faith. Don't let the typhoon, don't let the waves that are going on in your life cover up or cause us to forget about letter A, God's promises. Look, God's promises are just as vital right now as they were January 1st of this year. God's promises. We've been talking about that. So we see God's promises are part of the victories within the storm. Letter B is God's protection. God's protection. God protected them. Let's go back to our text. Acts 27. Acts 27. Verse 27. "But when the 14th night was come," 14 days, unreal. Talk about seasick. I would think so. And you know, it's interesting how it talks about they didn't eat anything for a long time later. I don't know if we'll get to that verse or read it. It's kind of like, that's kind of a no-brainer. You've been on a ship for 14 days, tossed around with a typhoon-type wind. I don't think anybody was feeling like eating much of anything. But that's what happened. "As we were driven up and down," think of that, up and down in Adria, "about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, 'Except these abide in the ship.'" I think they were getting on maybe a smaller boat that they had with them. "Except these abide in the ship," what? "You cannot be saved." And the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. That extra boat there, you know. If anybody leaves in that boat, you're on your own. If you probably won't make it. "And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, 'This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting.'" There it is. And let's keep going. Verse 36, "Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat, and we were in all in the ship, 216 souls," 276 people total. "When they'd eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea." We mentioned that earlier. "And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea, loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail of the wind, and made toward shore." There's a reason we're reading this. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the fore part stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to, what's the next word? Kill the prisoners. Who was one of the prisoners? Paul. But wait a minute. What did the angel of the Lord say to Paul back in verse number 22? Or no, he said it in verse number 24. He said, you got to get to Caesar. You're going to make it to Caesar. But now we're in a situation here that they're going to kill the prisoners because they don't want them to escape because the boat's falling apart. Is God's word going to be true when everything's falling apart or not? Are God's promises going to be true when the ships of life are breaking apart? I mean, goodness. I don't have to tell you. That's the way I felt a couple of times maybe in the last 30 minutes, in the last couple of weeks. I mean, I'm looking at my church calendar that I carry around and I'm like, cross that off, cross that off, cross that off, cross that off. One thing after another, it's breaking apart. Plans to do this, plans to do that, plans to do breaking apart. Does that mean God's promises are null and void? Of course not. Does that mean God's protection is not null and void? Of course not. Or notice what it says. Verse 43, but the centurion, willing to save who? Paul. You know, I think that Paul had made an influence on this centurion, right? What's the big deal? I think Paul had been observing Paul in this catastrophe, in this typhoon setting, in this ship moving back and forth. And again, God was in this, but the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And I love verse 44. Okay, so if you can swim, swim to land. If you can't swim, grab a board. grab a broken piece of the ship. I mean, this baby's about to break apart. And so it came to pass that they escaped all what? Safe to land. Wow. Letter B, God's protection. I don't know if I gave you that. God's protection. What a journey. From the soft winds to the typhoon to them about to kill all the prisoners. God's protection. We see God's blessing even in the storm. We see that there are victories in the storm. In Psalm 91, verse number 1, the Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. The Bible says here that all 276 people that were on that ship made it to land. What a miracle. What started off to be a beautiful day of sailing turned into be a ship that was torn apart, but God's word was fulfilled. God kept his promise. God would get Paul to where he was supposed to go. The journey was not over, but God would get Paul where he was supposed to be. As we come to the conclusion of the message, I've mentioned it a few times today already, but life, your life and mine, can one moment be a south wind, pleasant breeze. Everything's just going great. And then just like that, but not long after, things can change. But even when things change, God has not deserted us. God is still faithful. I will admit to you today that some things that come into our life are very overwhelming. Look, friend, you're flesh and blood. We're all flesh and blood. Thankfully, we have the Lord as believers with us, but we're still flesh and blood. We still have emotions. I mean, Jesus had emotions when he was on this earth, did he not? Several times in the Bible, it says that his spirit groaned within him. You know, I remember when he went to Lazarus' tomb. We were doing favorite Bible verses on our anchor page, and somebody put on there John 11:35 was their favorite Bible verse because it was easy for them to remember, and they were just jesting about it. But you know what? There's the emotion of the Savior. So if you've wept in recent days, you're in good company because Jesus wept. If your spirit has grown within you in recent days, you're in good company because Jesus' spirit grown within him. Our Lord suffered emotion. Our Lord went through emotional things, I should say. Some things that come into our life are also overpowering. Overpowering. You know, as a pastor, I have to admit that there would always be a way to have church. I remember one time we came to the rec center and we had everything in our trailer. I think all of our kids were still at home when this happened. We had everything in the trailer. I don't know if Pastor Nathan, you were here yet or not when this happened. I know Brother Charles wasn't here. And we pulled up and we were about to start to unload. If my older kids are watching, well, they better be, that they'll remember this. I remember Liza came out and said, "You can't come in." She said, "We've got a gas leak. And the building's closed." Were you here for that? Okay. Building's closed. We have a gas leak. Okay, it's Sunday morning. It's whatever time we were there. I mean, how are we going to have church? We have nowhere to go. And as a pastor, your mind begins to just spin and run. And okay, what are we going to do? Who are we going to call? And so we ended up going to the hotel there on North Road, the Executive Inn. And we had this, and the Lord gave us this huge ballroom. I mean, it was if you were there that day, you'll never forget it because we were in posh land on that day. I mean, it was like, you know, we were in, I don't know what you'd, just the beautiful setting from, okay, if you've been to Anchor Baptist, the Maple Room, I mean, praise God for the Maple Room. This was no Maple Room. I mean, this was amazing. And we were able to get that turned around and have church that day in that room. And it was amazing how God did it. And we paid such a little cheap price. They tried to give us the next full price, by the way, later that week. And I said, no, this is what the guy told me. And I had him stick to it. And so we got it for, I think $450. Unbelievable. That should have been that much for 2 hours or more. What I'm saying is, as a pastor, there's been other times, where are we going to meet? How are we going to have church? And yet here we come to this. The last thing you want to do is say we can't have church. The last thing you want to do is say we can't meet together. But that's where we are. But you know what? That doesn't mean that God's promises aren't the same. That doesn't mean that God's power isn't the same. That doesn't mean that God's protection has waned. No, this is not your church. This is not my church. This is God's church. We are His. You know, I am His and He is mine. Praise the Lord. So God has something in this. But some things are overpowering. You know what? Here's the good thing I wrote down. I just kind of scribbled some things down, added a little bit here. But all things are temporal. Think about it. This storm ended. It ended. It did not last forever. Yes, it lasted for a long time, but it ceased. It came to pass. There was a purpose in it. And there would be even more that would happen in the next chapter, by the way. Those barbarous people that are there. And Paul would get bit by the snake. It's a great read. Keep reading it sometime. Not right now, but maybe when we're done with church today, spend a little more time in the Bible and read a little bit more about this journey. But I wrote down this, all are temporary. So everything in right now is temporary. Even my life is temporary. You know, your life is temporary. Thousands of people have died within the last few months that had no plan of dying, at least because of a virus. It's very sad, isn't it? Thousands of people, thousands of people. And I've been reading, not just old people. You know, that's kind of been the thing. No, there's been young people too. Oh, I'm not trying to put fear. I'm just trying to say, hey, we live, we're born, we live, and we die. That's life. Death is part of life. Yes, it is. And as much as we don't want to talk about it and think about it, it's appointed unto men once to die. You know, Paul's storm ended. Someday my life's going to end. Then what? Someday your life's going to end. Then what? What if you go to bed tonight and don't wake up and your life ends? Where are you going to be? Are you going to be in heaven or don't you know? Oh, the Bible makes it very clear in James that our life is a vapor that appears for a time and then vanisheth away. But oh, wait a minute. The Bible also talks about heaven a place that God is preparing for us. We preached on that a few weeks ago in John chapter number 14. You see, right now, I would say this, many people are in desperation mode. They're living in desperate times. 6 weeks ago, many were not living this way, but now we are. Acts 27, the Bible says they had a beautiful breeze, and then a typhoon. What if you were diagnosed with cancer? Some of you have been before and given months to live. I don't wish that on anybody, but it happens. What if you were killed suddenly in an accident? Where would you be? Oh, your body would be here, but where would you be? Would you be in heaven? Oh, that's where God wants you. He's not willing that you perish, but that you come to repentance. You might be watching this broadcast today, and you might have zero assurance that when you die, you're going to heaven. Let me tell you something. Your life is temporary. If you think the problems of this life are anything, they are nothing compared to eternal damnation and the fire of hell and the lake of fire. Nothing compared to that, my friend. Oh, this is nothing. This is child's play compared to being judged by a holy God for all eternity. Come to Christ today, my friend. Come to Christ in the midst of this turmoil and say, I need Jesus. I need to be saved. Hey, Christian, break out. Wake up, as the Bible says. Wake up from this apathetic spirit that is settled within many, many Christians' lives today. Wake up from this coming to church once a month. Wake up from this coming to getting into the Bible every so often and get into the Word of God and get into the things of God and read more of God, because what we do now is making a difference in someone else's life, let alone ours. When you die, will you make it safely to heaven's shore? Paul made it safely to the shore, didn't he? All 276 people made it safely to the shore that day. What about you? When you die, are you going to make it safely to heaven's shore? Or don't you know?